Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Low Budget Bitches. Today, we will be doing a very fun Bravo discussion to talk about the third part of the Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion, Real Housewives of New Jersey, Real Housewives of New York, as well as some fun news that has been happening in this Bravo universe that we speak of. So before we get started, hello, Sam, how are you?
I'm good. This weather in Toronto that we're having, 20 degrees, finally. We've been waiting so long for this weather, and I'm so glad it's here.
I am very glad as well. I feel like I always look forward to the summer, and then I forget about a few things that happen in the summer, which is the heat itself.
Oh, yeah.
And the actual effects on me. Like my office space gets so hot. Because like there's just no proper insulation, it's all fucked up. But it gets so hot when I'm working. Like you have to like start off working with the heat on. Like I turn a heater on, a space heater, because it's cold in the mornings. And then by like the end of the day, I have to turn on a fan, and I'm like sweating. And I just it's usually just like the period between the winter and the summer that's weird for me, because in Ontario we don't really like have a spring. It's just
that's true
winter and then spring or summer. So but I'm still very happy about this weather.
I know the humidity, I forgot about how it felt. It is it's tough.
Yeah, it is, but I'm just glad to have like the sunniness, because we're finally getting our vitamin D dosage.
Exactly, and we really needed it.
We did. Alrighty, so before we get into our discussions on the TV shows, there's been a bunch of stuff that has been happening in the Housewives world. So let's first talk about Portia, Simon, Fallon Gate.
Portia on a Monday on May 10th. She broke the internet by announcing that she's with Simon, who is Fallon's ex-husband, who Portia claimed was her friend, but apparently they're not friends. They never were. I genuinely was so confused, because the picture that came out first before the announcement, I was like, what? Because Portia was standing with Dennis and Simon, her hand was on Simon's chest. And whenever a woman puts her hand on a man's chest in a photo, there's something going on.
Yeah. Oh, and there was like a huge ass, big ass ring on that finger as well.
Oh, yeah.
And when I first saw the photo, like I personally didn't like take it too seriously, because I was just like, oh, you know what, like it is what it is. Like maybe she's doing this for like to kind of make us all speculate, but maybe it's not it, because you know when something just seems too obvious that you're just like, it could never be that, because it's just kind of across too obvious that I think that they did this, like it's reverse psychology. But then we find out that they're together.
Yeah,
they're engaged. And allegedly, Fallon and Simon are still not divorced, because Fallon put out a statement saying that we're in the process of getting divorced.
Mm-hmm.
But according to Simon, they've been separated since January and haven't been together. So this is all crazy.
This is quite the entanglement that Portia has gotten herself into. I mean,
like, it's just it's just the whole thing around it is like, I mean, of course, like I do acknowledge that maybe she wasn't actually friends with Fallon. Maybe it was just one of those plot lines to be like, hey girl, like, you know, this person's coming on the show. But like now I'm just like, shit, I want to rewatch like season 13, because at the beginning of season 13, Portia and Lauren, and I think Shamia, also go to Fallon's house.
Oh, yeah,
where
yeah.
Simon is sitting there watching them all in the pool.
Right. And now I saw a tweet, and they were just like, now it makes sense why Simon was staring at them at the pool. I was like, no. Oh my God, guys.
It's wild. And even if Portia wasn't friends with Fallon, I still think it's like a very
weird,
awkward situation to be in.
It's like you're dating your coworker's ex-husband. Like, they're coworkers. Yeah, you're not friends, but like, you work together, technically.
Yeah. And in the photos that we saw and like videos that we've seen now as well, like Dennis is gleaming in happiness. I know exactly why he's girl, he doesn't, okay, first of all, he didn't want to be with Portia. I could tell that for the longest time. I think that he was
trying
to make it work, and maybe he wanted her back, but I think after just like a lot of time apart and thinking, and you know, it's been a while since they shot the TV show as well, I think that he ultimately doesn't want to be with her, because I mean, he did cheat on her as well. I think also he must be really happy because Simon is rich.
True.
And I mean, Portia's already rich on her own. Portia's an independent, strong person who don't need no man or his money. But Simon is like rich on another level that, you know, obviously the hot dog king is going to continue to provide child support and all that kind of stuff. But I think there's definitely like another sort of burden that kind of comes off of you when you know that like your ex-partner's new partner is really rich. And so there's not going to be a lot of eyes on you in regards to like child support and alimony, if there was any, whatever it may be. So I understand why, you know, he's very happy.
Yeah. He's also probably happy since he's like, good, now I don't have to buy her any more Chanel bags to keep up face.
Yeah. You know, and now Pilar has a lot of new siblings, potentially. Like,
oh my God, yeah. Or
step-siblings, sorry. Because I think Simon has a bunch of kids.
Yep, he sure does.
But you know what? He's always on a PJ. I was going through his Instagram because I was lurking. Because I was like, you know what? I never really paid attention to him. I want to pay attention to him. The things that I found out were that apparently his net worth is around $40
million. Oh, because okay.
He owns a lot of businesses in Atlanta. Like, owns places from restaurants to bars to barbershops to just, like, anything and everything.
A mogul.
A mogul, if you will. And, yeah, he's always on a PJ. So I'm just like, wow. Oh, Portia can now fly private all the time.
Good for her. Good for her.
But I do feel a little bit bad for Fallon.
I mean, duh.
Yeah, it's an awkward situation, but do you think the producers are going to try to get her a peach and bring her for the next season for some juicy storylines?
I don't know. I think that would have to depend on Fallon's willingness, because I feel like if she's not willing to give everything, the producers are going to be like, sorry, no, thank you.
I also think it might just come down to what Portia wants. You know, I think we have realized over time that these people who are like the best, the top tier in their franchises kind of do have a little bit of a say as to who comes.
Yeah. Even though Andy likes to deny it, and they're like, no, they don't have any say in like casting or production. It's like,
well, I mean, Andy is right because technically they don't, but they do say, like, if this person's going to come on, I'm not going to come back.
Yeah, so it's like semantics, Andy.
Yeah, yeah, but all very interesting. Portia also got her own TV show, which has been announced.
Oh, my God, the best.
Like a little, I believe it's not a TV show. It's like a special, like another Atlanta special.
It's only like 3 episodes.
Also, how many fucking specials does Atlanta have? Like, Real House of Atlanta so many spin-offs, which is crazy, but I love it. But I'm excited because now it's like perfect timing for them to shoot.
Exactly.
Another huge piece of news in the Housewives world is this battle between Tiffany versus the Westcotts.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, I think it's Court, who is Tiffany's husband.
Hobbit husband.
Yeah, and his brother. Put out some tweets about Tiffany Moon, basically just like denying, basically saying that her comment about anti-racism was racist, but that's not true.
Yeah, some dumbass thing. And they were basically trying to like defame her because they were like, oh, weren't you drunk or whatever? And then you had to go check on your patients the next day. I was like, this bitch. That Westcott family, And then Miss Tiffany, she lawyered up, and her lawyer was just like, the Westcotts better be fucking careful about talking about Dr. Tiffany Moon and her fucking job career. They better watch their days.
Yes, that is very true. And so what also happened was that first Tiffany changed her Instagram bio to say former or like previous housewife of Atlanta. And then Bravo released a statement in support of Tiffany, which basically was like Bravo saying Cameron's not coming back and we're going to fire her.
Hopefully.
And then Tiffany's bio changed again to just housewife of Atlanta, of Dallas, sorry. It's crazy. But yeah. I'm glad that Bravo like really put their foot in and like got involved as soon as possible rather than like waiting like a few weeks, because we've seen Bravo with previous things like wait a while before they make an actual statement. Like I believe they did that with the whole BLM stuff versus like in regards to Vanderpump Rules when all that stuff was happening. So I'm glad that they took action like right away.
Yeah, and I'm really curious about Mr. Andy Cohen with his whole like, I believe that the housewives should be allowed, you know, to have their political beliefs and that shouldn't be like an effect, or that shouldn't affect, you know, their casting on our shows or whatever. Like, Andy, what do you got to say now about this racist person that you got on your show? Like,
yeah,
attacking another member, essentially, and getting her little posse KKK family to do it. Like,
agreed. And the sad thing about all of it is like this was expected from Dallas. I keep saying Atlanta, Dallas. It was very, very, very expected because it's just like Dallas is like one of those like very like racist places that you can just assume, and I'm sure it's true. And I mean, we're seeing that it's true. So it's like, it is really sad. My heart goes out to Tiffany because it's like, even though these are positive things that are happening now as a result of this, it does suck to have to like experience racism on like a crazy like platform like Housewives where like everyone can see. And like, I can't imagine like how tough it must be to be going through that. And to also like have to be forced to be like the model of like, you know, getting this racism out of the way. That's a tough position to be in. So I really do hope that, you know, they give her a really big salary bump, try to bring her back, you know, accommodate her wherever they can so that, you know, she finally gets what she deserves.
Exactly. And I swear to God, if I see Miss Karen Westcott on this cast for season 6, I'm going to go wherever Evolution Media is housed and I'm going to start some stuff.
Yeah, no, I have a really good feeling that everyone is going to be gone except for Deandra, Tiffany, and I think Stephanie has a chance.
Yeah. I think those three.
Everyone else is done.
Yeah, those three are good as a baseline to add more newbies.
I hate to say this, but I actually think that Leanne should come back.
Oh, Leanne. That's so hard because all of them like hate her so much.
That's true. But I don't know why, for some odd reason, it just feels like Leanne is necessary. And I hate to be that person whenever like, you know, an OG leaves like one of these shows and everyone's just like, bring them back. I'm more on like the camp of like, no, like the show's doing great. Like it doesn't need them. But like in this situation, I don't know. For some odd reason, I just feel like Leanne's energy is needed.
But her energy was very, like, aggressive and chaotic in the sense that she did it for the cameras because she knew she would get a reaction.
Mama, that's the job.
But it wasn't a good one. Like, it was not good to see.
Also, just to put a disclaimer out there, I didn't watch the last season of Dallas, so I didn't see the craziness that happened, like, last year with her and what's that girl's name?
Carrie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? Who needs to come back? Carrie Duber.
Okay, I don't want Carrie Duber. I never liked her. I don't get Carrie Duber love. I hated her. She's so annoying.
Loved her. She was like, but you know, we'll agree to disagree on that one.
Okay, sure.
Alrighty. I guess let's get into the TV shows. So let's start off with Atlanta. Part 3 of the reunion, finally it's come to an end. What did you think?
I thought it was very much a flat reunion for a kind of flat season. You know, there were some moments, obviously the trips to South Carolina and New Orleans, those were fun. But overall, I feel like the drama was like, They were just fighting for the sake of fighting.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think what it really is when you think about a successful reunion series of episodes, regardless if it's like two parts, three parts, four parts, whatever it may be, I think that the successful reunions are ones where you can differentiate what drama was said in the first part and in the second part and then the third part, if or and fourth, whatever. But I feel like for this set of episodes of Reunion for Atlanta, like, it just all felt the same. Like, I really can't differentiate what was when, because it just feels like it's the same issues just being brought up again and again and again. And those issues kind of, like, intertwine with each other. Maybe that's why it kind of feels the same. But, yeah, no, it was boring from my perspective.
Yeah, it definitely was boring. I can't even tell you, like, what drama happened in the third part, because I'm getting it confused with, like, the first and the second, because they do talk about, like, Candy, Portia, and Kenya, like, their whole beefs between each other. And I'm just like, I don't need to hear about this again. Like, I don't care about the Candy and Portia beef or history of the beef, you know?
Yeah, and you know it's a bad reunion and they don't have much to say when Andy Cohen has to ask the same question twice. He asked Candy and Portia the same question twice. Like, first he talked about, you know, their whole montage about, like, how they slowly rebuilt their relationship and how they feel about each other. And then after discussing all the various dramas that happened throughout the season, Andy was just like, okay, well, I gotta ask this question again. What do you feel? And to me, it kind of just felt like it was like, I don't know. It's just, I guess, like, obviously the way that they set up stuff up and, like, the way that they show their scenes and sequences and talk about drama is, you know, done on purpose on a various timeline. But it just kind of felt like it was, like, there was not much to talk about, because it was just, like, let's talk about the same thing five times.
Exactly. I don't know. I really don't know what they need to do with the show. I don't know if it's, like, they need more people or it's just because the season was filmed during COVID and they just need to be able to, like, go out properly for us to get a good show.
I think also what's kind of happened is that I think through time, the Kenya and Portia was always really fun to watch.
Yeah.
It was always really great reads. It was always really great fighting. It was stuff that, you know, you kind of in a way, like, were kind of, even if you were on somebody's side more, you kind of were on both of their sides in certain issues, right? But I think now it's kind of flatlined in the sense that it's like, we've seen them fight for years and years at this point. It's nonstop. They're just going to hate each other regardless. And I think that's also the kind of issue that happened with Nini, and why I think she also flatlined on the show was just because she came to a point where she was beefing with everybody so much to the point that it wasn't even exciting anymore. It just was a drag, and it just seemed like, okay, there's just nothing that's going to happen anymore. This relationship is not going to, like, change at all. They're going to forever hate each other regardless of whatever the other person does. They're going to hate each other, and it's just not entertaining anymore.
Exactly. And they just keep bringing up stuff from the past. Well, like, you said this and I was responding to this and that's why I said this, and it just gets tiring to keep up with and watch. And it's like, okay, we get it, you guys just don't like each other and you shouldn't try to be friends because it's just not going to work. And for me, I don't think Kenya can take what she gives. Like, she likes to throw shade in her confessionals, but whenever somebody else throws shade at her, she takes it much more personally, I think.
Yeah, I agree. She is, I think it's maybe that's something that's kind of happened over the years. She's kind of become really sensitive to what other people say in their confessionals. And it's just like, that is just wrong of you. And it's just like, okay, well, you said so much more about this person. So if you can't handle it, leave the kitchen.
Exactly.
Can't handle the heat, leave the kitchen. That's the quote.
Yeah. You guys know we're not that good with our sayings.
Yeah, we're not. English is not our first language for both of us.
Yeah, it isn't.
What else? Okay, another thing that I want to talk about in the Atlanta thing, the only last thing that I have to really say is Drew, I think it was this part, and maybe I could be wrong, maybe this was talked about in the second part, but, like, Drew talked about the society of prophets and
oh my God.
Whole network of them. I was like, what? Is this like, are they like Avon ladies? Like there's just a network of these people? Like what?
I didn't even know. I was confused too because she also said that there were, I don't remember the word she said. There were prophets. Oh, there were false prophets or whatever. And Prophet Lot was basically like a false prophet or something. But I was like, wait a minute. If you found out or came to the conclusion that he was a false prophet in your mind, why did you still want him to christen your baby? Like, I don't know.
I mean, my whole, yeah, like that whole thing was just dumb because it's just like, okay, Drew, you're only saying that now because like he's quote unquote tainted.
Yeah.
But like otherwise, like, and weren't you the one that was saying that you've been friends with him for fucking years and your family has known him forever? So what, maybe you should have authenticated his prophecy,
right?
Before. Like, come on. Like, you can't just be saying that now that you had a fallout with him.
Uh-huh. And I thought the funniest thing relating to like the whole network of prophets is like, she was like, oh yeah, Prophet Lot, he was like a false prophet, or like word got around that he was fucking LaToya and, you know, he was tainted. And then other prophets found out from the network and started dropping out of our christening. What is
this? Isn't her mother a pastor? Just fucking get your mom to do this. Like, isn't that cuter and more like intimate? Like, what?
So funny.
Yeah, it was funny, but it was really dumb. Because also, again, yeah. Just like, okay, but like, still, like, you're placing a lot of this blame on LaToya, even though, like, I get that LaToya's a crazy person, but she has nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
This is just an issue that you have between yourself, and it's fucked you over because of yourself.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts about Atlanta?
Just Shamila.
I'm dead. That is too so funny. I can't.
Only thing Marlo contributed to the reunion.
Yeah, only thing. I'm excited for season 14, though, because now that we have this Portia stuff happening, now that there's talks that Phaedra might possibly come back, and I think that the production is definitely going to do a little bit of a shakeup compared to, like, when you look at, like, this season. So yeah. I am hopeful for the next season.
Same here.
Alrighty, I guess we will take a little bit of a break, and then we will be back with New Jersey. Alrighty, welcome back. So this week we saw the finale of Real Houses of New Jersey, a fun little Halloween party. What'd you think?
I thought it was fun. I personally enjoyed the whole Melissa, Dolores, Joe Gorga, Margaret. A lot of people were involved in this drama. And I want to say I feel bad for Melissa, but I don't, because
yeah,
she probably does know that he is misogynistic, but she obviously doesn't want to admit it and say it out loud, because that would technically be going against her husband, and you don't go against the family. So
I think that this episode, I kind of, and I'm not saying I'm on Joe Gorga's side, because fuck him.
Yeah. But
I kind of understand a little bit of his perspective a little bit more after hearing some things that he said, because I think it was the scene where, like, after, like, the whole, all the fights happened, which we'll, you know, which we'll dissect in a bit. But, you know, after the fight, after all of that happened, and Melissa and Joe kind of went to a corner to kind uh-huh. of like, talk it, and deciding whether they want to, like, come back to the party or go back home. And, you know, I do hate when Joe Gorga says, like, I've given Melissa all these things, because I don't agree with that. You know, again, like, we talked about that last episode where it's like, it's her money as much as it is his. But I think that there is this point where, like, you know, she talked about, like, a modern life and wanting to do more. And he was kind of just like, but our life is like that already. Like, you go out and do your own things. You go out and hang with your friends. If I wanted old school, it would be me. It would be me forcing you to stay at home, and you would have none of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the thing that, what I can kind of understand is maybe he's kind of fearful, because he's just like, what else does she want? Does she want, like, complete, like, for us to completely live separate and all that kind of stuff? So I think that Melissa and him need to have a little bit more communication with each other as to what Melissa wants from him. Is it that she just wants him to be supportive of what their life is currently like? Does she want more sort of freedom and more sort of like being outside of the home and more work projects? What is it that she wants? Because I think that kind of freaks him out. And I can see why he's kind of been freaking out, but I do disagree with everything else that he said to Dolores and to Melissa.
Yeah, one thing that just really annoyed me was when he said, yeah, you know, when I was working, you were taking care of the house and the kids. When I came home, who was my number one? Like, you. And he's acting as if she doesn't do that. And maybe she doesn't do it to the degree that he wants, which is, I think, the biggest problem. He wants her attention, like, all the time. And I think because she's going out, she's not giving him that attention even at home. She's probably on Instagram reading her comments, you know? She's that type of girl. And I think he just wants his wife to be his wife when she's at home, at least.
Yeah.
Which I suppose I can get because I know who he is and, like, the type of guy he is. And so I think he needs to communicate that better to Melissa because she's such a dingbat. I don't think she knows.
Yeah, that's a valid point. I mean, there's a simple solution to all of this. If you want to fix your marriage and if there's allegedly actual problems going on, because again, I like to believe that this is actually a full-on storyline and they're completely fine and there's no issues.
Uh-huh.
But like, if you want to fix your marriage, then just get off the show. It's as simple as that. But are they going to do that?
No.
Exactly.
No, they love the attention.
They love this. This is Joe probably, Melissa probably just like, I have an idea. Let's do this. And Joe's probably just like, sure, I'm on board if this means like us having longevity on this show because I love being on this. Also, can I just say his left tit or right boob or whatever was so distracting. Uh-huh. Like, why does this boob gotta be out? I mean, I'm all about free the nipple, but like that was just, it was staring right back at me.
I know. I was like, okay, I see him. I see him.
This party, hello, we're in COVID. And I know that we've seen already a bunch of parties in this season that have been like, you know, not COVID friendly, but this one was on another level of not COVID.
But you have to give it to Marge. She said on her invitation, a negative COVID test is required. I don't know how she facilitated that, but she did say it.
I mean, it's called false negative sometimes.
I know.
And I'm sure there was one or two people who like were just like, no, girl, I'm going to like photocopy or Photoshop a thing. But it was a lot of people. There was too many people.
That shit was packed. I was like, oh, wow. But it kind of just like, it made me feel good, though, at the same time, because it kind of let me forget that there was a pandemic. And it felt like a normal housewife season, and I miss those, honestly.
That's true. That's true. I will say that.
So you know what? They risked their lives for my entertainment.
What did you think of these costumes of everybody?
The only one that I thought was super janky was Miss Jackie. A Cher.
Oh, yeah.
That was not the right choice. Her husband looked kind of like Sunny, though. That was pretty decent.
My favorite costume was, drumroll, Bill Aiden.
Oh, yes.
Amazing.
As Prince.
I loved it. And also, I just want to give a shout out to Bill for like standing up for what's right, because he really stood up for what was right and told Joe Gorgoff. I was pissed that Joe was just like, you're drunk. And I was just like, no, he's fully coherent because he's making a valid statement. And I wish Bill spoke up after that as well, being like, no, I'm not. Like, just because you don't like what I'm saying doesn't mean that you can come up with an excuse for or a reasoning why, you know, I'm saying this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I think at the same time, Bill was probably just like, you know what? I said what I wanted to say. If he doesn't want to hear it, then that's on him. I'm here to have a fun time as Prince and let loose.
Exactly. And I thought it was kind of interesting, though, to see that he was hearing what Bill was saying, like, oh, if you hurt their feelings, you have to listen to them and hear what they're saying. And I love how Joe interpreted that as like, oh, he's just drunk. Like, that can't possibly
be. Yeah, I mean, that was just another, like, it was just like, after all the fighting, it's like, you just proved to everyone that you are a chauvinistic, that you are this barbarian that doesn't care about, like, you know, like, what we live in now. And you just always want it to be your way and super old school, but that's not the world that we live in anymore.
I know. We also saw Louis in the beginning of the episode on a date with Teresa.
Oh my god, we did not talk about that. Yes, that much, that, okay, that was anticipated for like 2 or 3 episodes full. Yeah. On, like, they keep previewing that to us. What did you think of him?
He was interesting. I just don't understand why all the men in New Jersey are like so red-faced.
Oh my god. When I was watching, I was like,
what's going on?
Like, he is a tomato.
Like, are they doing drugs? Is this just their natural complexion?
It was crazy. I guess maybe, I don't know. I can't justify it. Maybe it's all the steroids that they have in their bodies.
Oh god. Yeah.
I liked Louis. He's definitely gotten a lot of Botox, but I appreciate it. He seems like a really nice guy. And honestly, though, like, I was smiling a lot in his scenes with Teresa because I was genuinely so happy for Teresa. Like, she finally has somebody that is just, like, so nice and appreciative and loving of her. And it's really great to see her having that.
What I did think was kind of, like, interesting, though, was just how little they had to say to each other in terms of substance. They were just like, oh wow, it's really nice in here. Wow, I mean, okay. It's delicious.
I feel like when you're like crushing, when you're like in that honeymoon phase, and it is kind of like an awkward scenario because it's like cameras and stuff.
Yeah.
And for Teresa, it is weird for her to show the side, right? Because it's like, it's been many years since she's been like loving, right? And even when she was loving back then, like, Joe was always like ruining the moment.
Yeah, that's true.
Her having this, and she probably in her mind has been dreaming of this moment to be able to have a man, be in a healthy relationship, and have that be on the show, and to be able to show her love off. And it's so, for her, like, I understand why it was probably really awkward, and him also like being the, like, it's probably his first time being on television, right? So
yeah.
But it was all really cute. I thought it was so cute how he was just like, can I take off my jacket?
Oh, yeah. Like,
oh, so sweet. Like, oh.
But I did think it was kind of cringe when he just like stood up from the table and just went over to like make out with her. I was like,
I thought it was cringe, but I think that if I was in that moment, I'd be like, this is so hot. Like,
oh my god, of course you would.
I'm a natural simp. I will simp for anything and anyone. So I would think that's really hot, and that's very confident of a person to do.
Yeah, but I am happy for Teresa that she's found somebody that actually treats her nicely.
Yes, very, very happy for them. Do you have any final thoughts about this episode?
No, not really. I really enjoyed the season, though. It was great. I know that the COVID restrictions were in place, but not really enforced. And I applaud them for doing that for the benefit of my entertainment. And the trailer for the reunion looks so good. Miss Jennifer Aiden, the target is Margaret.
Ooh, I didn't watch the trailer yet.
You need
to. I know.
It's so good. It truly
has just been so busy, but I'll watch it definitely. But I agree with you in the sense of like the season. Like, I think it was a great season. Apparently, according to, you know, insiders, the production team wasn't too happy with the season, which is why it was very short.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw that the production was happy with the cast, and they're not really looking to change any of the ladies.
Yeah, I am a little bit surprised about that because I do think that, like, Jackie was very, like, her only thing in this whole season was her fight with Teresa. And then literally after that, it went, like, she was so boring. Like, she had nothing else happening in her life. Nothing at all. And I think that's a place where you should start worrying if you're a housewife, because you need to have something additional to give. And I think over the past few, I think with Jennifer, we saw that, you know, she was always having fights with other people and stuff. But this season, we saw a complete different side of her, her family issues and all that kind of stuff, which is fantastic because, you know, you have to have your own storyline, your own life happening to be able to show on air. Whereas I don't think that's there for Jackie. So I don't know. I kind of don't want her back on the show, but I know they're going to bring her back.
Yeah, I think she comes as a Cynthia almost, but she definitely needs to bring a little bit more, because Cynthia, while she is kind of like on the wall, she has her moments where she brings something, like this whole marriage and her fake relationships from before. I think Jackie needs a little bit of spice to keep her on.
I agree. And I would also love to see some dynamics shift, because we do see this, like, you know, on Housewives, there's a few seasons where like some people are super close and then all of a sudden something weird happens and there's some dynamics that have been shifted. And I would love to see that on New Jersey. I would love to see all of a sudden, you know, Marge being best friends with, like, I don't know, like Jennifer. I don't know. That's probably not gonna happen. But you know what I mean, like, I would love to see a little bit of that switch up. And I mean, we did kind of see it in the finale, because, you know, Marge was more on Dolores' side compared to being on Melissa's side when it comes to this sort of stuff. She is closer to Melissa, but I'm glad that she stood up for what's right.
Yeah, I'm really curious if anybody like Jennifer or even a Dolores, it's probably not going to happen, but if they start kind of like turning on Teresa, that would be very interesting to see, because I feel like everybody on the cast right now is relatively like okay with Teresa, like there's no drama with her, you know.
Exactly. I mean, she runs the show, she is the HBIC, and yeah,
she is a mogul too with her cookbooks,
her cookbooks, and her collaboration with her ex-husband for a sex toy line.
Yeah.
Alrighty, I guess we'll take a little break and we will come back with New York. Alrighty, welcome back. So we just saw the second episode of The Real Houses of New York City. They have all gone to Ramona's house in the Hamptons. And it's a fun time. They're back in the Hamptons doing what they do best.
Yes, they're there for 5 days. Ramona invited them for 5 whole days. We are going to get a lot of content. Ooh, from the Hamptons. And that's
a long exciting time.
I know.
I'm like, damn, Ramona actually agreed to 5 days. Like, that's right? A very long time for everyone to be under one roof, but to also have, like, cameras.
Yeah, and you know, Ramona's already being Ramona. She already called her, employees. They work for her. She already called them to help. And okay, Ebony, yeah. She's not having that.
Well, okay, let's kind of first rewind a little bit and go and talk about this person that's working for Ramona, this hospitality person.
Oh,
I forgot what their title was, but I was just like, is this person volunteering? Are you taking a page out of Sonia's book and got an intern? Or is it like you hired this person? Because I couldn't tell what it was.
I think it was a hired person, because I feel like her title was something like a hospitality manager. And I was like, a hospitality manager? What is that? Like, do they just plan parties?
But I will say, though, like, this Ramona really did a good job at hiring these people to do these jobs. Because, like, we never really see Ramona, like, going all out when it comes to events. I feel like it used to be always either Bethany and or Dorinda that used to, like, really put in the work for these really cool, elaborate events at their homes or, you know, at restaurants and stuff like that. Whereas now I'm glad Ramona's, like, you know, taking that torch.
Yeah, she really knows how to pick them. And I didn't know that Ramona's, I guess, Hampton property was just that big, because there were so many like different sections of this like party. I was like, wow, this is very nice.
Yeah, I love her Hampton's house. I think it's so beautiful. Really nice. It's massive. It's great. It is. As much as I hate Ramona, I love the house.
I would even stay in the lower level if it meant I could go there.
But yeah, let's kind of go back to that comment about the help. That was wild, but again, not surprised about Ramona.
Yeah, not surprised. It's Ramona. She's so antiquated in her thinking. And the thing is with Ramona, it's like nobody ever checked her, so she never learned.
Yeah.
And I think that's the main problem with a lot of these housewives. Nobody really checks them because they're surrounded by the same people who say the same things.
Yeah, exactly. And I think throughout this episode, I did think that, you know, Ebony was kind of a little bit brown-nosing in the sense that she was agreeing a lot with what these ladies do and kind of complimenting them. And I was a little kind of cheesed because I was just like, I really wanted Ebony to come in and like tell these ladies off for what they are and what they do. But we do see that in the next episode, Ebony is going to address the help comment to Ramona and they're going to have a conversation about it. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I think she did not go off on these women just yet is because she just met all of them essentially. And she just got invited to Ramona's Hampton house after meeting her for like one little dinky brunch. And so I think anybody as a good house guest wouldn't really go off on the first night, at least.
That's true.
And they would be like, oh, thank you, you know, for having me. This house is beautiful. Cause I mean, honestly, I would probably do that if I was in Ramona's Hampton house too. I'd be like, this is gorgeous. Thank you for putting me up in this beautiful bedroom.
Right.
Thank you for feeding me. That food looked delicious.
It did for sure.
And then, you know, on the second night, I'd be like, so why the fuck did you call her the help?
Yeah. That's true. That's true. And again, like, that's when I saw this, the next week's preview, I was just like, okay, Ebony has a plan. I'm going to trust the process. So before Luann and Sonia, trying to pronounce it correctly, before Luann and Sonia get to Ramona's place, Ramona lets Leah and Ebony know that Heather Thompson, will be coming. I think she said for like a dinner or a lunch or maybe like a few days. I don't remember when it was. And Leah automatically is just like, huh?
Who? I did not know Heather would be coming this soon. Yeah. I thought she was going to be in like the middle of the season or something. But
honestly though, I did agree with Leah's comments because, and the points that she made. So first of all, I was really surprised that Heather had lunch with Ramona and Luann voluntarily, which I'm just like, no, that's not adding up. I have a really good feeling that the New York producers were probably just like, hey, Heather, like, we kind of want to make you a friend on the show again. We're kind of interested to see what can happen. Can you please go on a lunch with these two and we can like kind of like see what happens?
Oh,
and
yeah.
If it's good, we'll record it. And I always know that like whenever like they like film the scene, but they didn't really actually show the scene and they kind of show it as a flashback, it's always probably like a lunch or an event that wasn't as like dramatic and they just couldn't get much out of it, but they still wanted to show it off. And then I do agree with Leah about like the fact that Heather has talked a lot of shit about these people.
Yep.
So, like, why are you coming?
Yeah, I remember seeing those reports where she was on the podcast and she was just like, yeah, there was a hard drugs when we were in, I don't know, where did they go again?
St. Barts? Or
I don't know, some tropical place, whatever. It was when, you know, the whole Luann fucking the pirate or something, or when she was like, don't be all uncool.
Yeah.
Cool. That whole thing, and Heather just had to expose them. And while I do appreciate the exposure, because I'm just like, wow, that really brings a lot of like insight into why they were behaving the way they were and like what goes on these trips.
Yeah.
I do question, like, why would Ramona invite her.
Yes, I agree with you. And times like this kind of make me, kind of makes it feel like Heather's kind of a sellout, because it's like,
oh, yeah,
she's always been so on top of like Luann and Ramona and the way that they acted back then. But all of a sudden, she's like best friends with them. And I'm sure it's because a paycheck is involved. And I'm like, yikes. Sad to see.
I'm also curious if Ramona brought Heather just to annoy Luann, because we know Ramona has done that with bringing Missy around right after the divorce. She likes to be messy. So I wonder if that's just why.
She does, for sure. What else happened? Okay, so let's talk about this Burning Man themed dinner party. What the fuck was that?
I can't even. I understand why Leah would want to have this Burning Man theme. But seeing all these women dress up and their interpretation of Burning Man was quite a sight, especially with Miss Ramona and that bedazzled bustier thing she was wearing.
I mean, well, it was just a sticker.
Oh my god, yes.
And then her wearing like a mesh top on top. I mean, okay, so I will say, I mean, I was really surprised that Ramona even agreed to do this sort of theme. I'm surprised that I feel like Ramona probably, like, when Leah probably brought this up, she's probably just like, what's that? And then Leah was probably just like, it's a festival. And then Ramona probably thought Coachella and was just like, yeah, of course I'll set that up. That seems so fun. And then didn't realize probably afterwards, or maybe right before, that like this is something that, like, you know, involves like drugs and all that kind of stuff. But I will say, though, I liked the setup. It wasn't Burning Man themed, but I liked the setup that Ramona put together in her backyard, like the little tent, the little the fog, all that kind of stuff. Like, I appreciated that.
Yeah, I'm assuming that somebody who was doing Ramona's hair or makeup was just like, oh, what's the theme? Like, what are we going for? And she's like, festival. And she probably read, like, Leah's text again, and she's like, oh, Burning Man, what's that? And then the hairstylist or makeup artist had to explain what happens at Burning Man, and she's like, oh my god.
Yeah.
And then she's probably like, I'm not surprised, it's Leah, and just went with it anyways, because she's, I do think that Ramona, as much as she doesn't like Leah and her antics as the young one, she also wants to impress Leah as the young one.
Oh, yeah, 1,000%. I feel like it's one of those things where, like, she's probably really happy that she has Leah on the cast now, because she can kind of, like, learn these things about, like, you know, younger people and make herself seem a little bit more hip, because she didn't really have, like, that sort of influence in her life at the
time. Yeah, not with those 60 girlfriends of hers.
All in their 60s. They're like full on, like, you know, in their 60s as well. Yep. So crazy. Side question, would you ever go to Burning Man?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
It's too dirty. It's too much dust.
Yeah, that part for sure.
I've heard that it's very much just like drugs and like dirt.
You know what? Sometimes I'm in the mood for that, and
I know you are. I know why you asked me, because you want to go, and you're just like, do I have somebody else to go with? You surely do not. Not with me, unfortunately.
I don't know if I'd want to go, just because, like, I know that, like, the crazy harsh drugs, like, one of them being ayahuasca that people do.
Oh, yes.
That, like, makes you, like, throw up a lot, and I hate throwing up, so I'm like, I don't know if I would do that.
That one's the one that gives you the hallucinations, too, like the crazy ones.
That part I want, but the throwing up part I don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, what else happens in this episode? Okay, so we see them. Oh, the Reiki, the whatever their title was.
Oh yes, their healer or something.
Yes, Ramona's commentary was just so expected.
Honestly, I had to skip that part because I was just like, I can't with these women with this heartfelt moment. I was like, eye roll, goodbye.
Yeah, there's something about, like, I acknowledge that everyone, even the rich, are going through their own issues, but sometimes, like, seeing, like, really rich, privileged women talk about stuff, like, it's just
It's triggering for me because I'm not one of them.
I think the only person stuff that I really enjoyed hearing was Ebony stuff, and because it felt really like genuine and heartfelt, and it was one of those things where, like, you know, it's an issue that happens with some people, but they don't really like ever like talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was glad to hear that. And then after that, Ebony was just like, good night, everybody. I'm going to sleep.
Yeah. And I kind of felt that, you know, because being around these white women who, I don't know how they have this much energy, but they have a lot. And for her, you know, Ebony said she hasn't been around white women in general for this long of a period.
Yeah.
And so I understand, like, her social battery was, like, done.
Yeah, no, for sure. I would have done the same thing as her. I really respected that she did that.
Yeah.
She was just like, yeah, like, for me, it's done. I'm not going to do this craziness. I'm going to go to sleep. And I like that she said also that, like, you know, the energy and stuff that she felt, she wants to leave it at that. She doesn't want to make it worse. And that's a really smart move. Any final thoughts about this episode of Real Houses of New York City?
I love that we're in the Hamptons already. The funniest thing was when Ramona tested her pool and she was just like, it's at 85 degrees. It needs to be at 95. And her and Sonia went to the freaking back to turn it on. And I just, oh, it just reminded me of Ramonia and Turtle Time.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
I actually really appreciated that Ramona likes to have the pool like very like hot and warm.
Yeah,
the
same.
Worst thing is when you go into a pool and it's like so cold that like you're dying. And I'm just like, you know what? That's really smart of her. I'll give that to Ramona.
I love that, yeah.
So I think that wraps up New York for this week. And that wraps up our episode for this week as well. So make sure to follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter, all of our socials, where you can, you know, continue to have, as well as putting in a review wherever you listen to your podcast, which would be fantastic, people. Please leave a review.
I still don't see a review. Y'all bitches need to fucking give us a review. Or else you guys, once you see our little podcast on Apple or Spotify, you're going to see a fake review. And you're going to know it's because of you guys. You made us come to this point.
So please do that as soon as possible. But otherwise, thank you again for listening. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.